Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to James chapter 1. The Word of God says, if any of you lack wisdom, if any of you lack the application of doctrine, knowing what to say or what to do, how to do it, when to say it, how to say it, and so on, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, knowing that God will give it to him. What is the problem? And also you have to consider the context. What is the problem in the context here? On the one side, you have a man asking for wisdom. On the other side, you have a man wavering. What does it mean when I waver in wisdom? It means that part of my mind is thinking with the mind of Christ, and the other part of my mind is thinking with my own natural abilities, natural mindset, with the mind of the old man. This kind of a man will be unstable in all his ways. This kind of a man will be a man who is both here and there, but nowhere at the same time. And ultimately, he receives nothing from God that is of any benefit for him, because he didn't trust the wisdom that God had given. This can happen to us, that we do not trust the wisdom that God has given. Now, what is it that causes me to lack this in my life? Well, it's really what I am responding to. And that's what I'd like to talk about for a few minutes today, is what are you responding to? Because there is going to be a huge difference in my life. My life will be different if I respond to God or if I respond to something else. And the way that my life plays out will be dramatically different between the different things I respond to. The way that I think will be very different. The way that I decide, the whole nine yards, will be very different according to what I am responding to. Now, the Word of God says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Because that leaning on my own understanding is going to cause me to be double-minded when God offers wisdom. I was talking with my wife earlier today, and we were reflecting on this one thought of God's wisdom. And she made a good statement. She said, God, who has infinite wisdom and infinite knowledge, is willing to impart that to me if I am willing to ask him for it. Do you realize that the truth of this, that God, who has infinite wisdom and infinite knowledge, is willing to impart these things to me if I am willing to ask and then to receive it? Now, a person will ask and receive it according to what the person is responding to. So what are we responding to? Now, this seems like a very simple sort of a question, like it should be kind of obvious. But it's not really. Because in the believer's life, and this is very frequently the results in a Romans 7 experience, or an Elijah experience where he runs to the cave and he runs to the brook. In the believer's life, I'm constantly responding, but I'm not always responding to the right thing. I'm not always responding responding to the initiation of God through the Holy Spirit and His Word. But often I can respond to different things. I can respond to the initiations of the world. I can respond to the initiations of other people. I can respond to the initiations of my sin nature. But I won't be able to help this one thing. I won't be able to help but respond. So what are you responding to? It is possible for a person to get into a circumstance that is perhaps challenging and start responding to the circumstance. A person like that may become reactionary. Or a person like that may become very afraid or insecure. Or if it's a positive circumstance, they might become a little bit puffed up. But what are you responding to? You see, the circumstances that come to challenge us are not always negative circumstances. As a matter of fact, the greatest tests in a believer's life are often the positive circumstances. The time when God promotes. And how does a believer respond to that? That is an equally important response to when I get abased. Because my promotion can distract me just as easily as God abasing me. My trial is no greater and no less than my promotion from God. They are both tests of the heart to see what I will respond to. People respond to other people. Frequently people respond to people's emotions or people's old sin nature. Never respond to somebody's old sin nature. You see it all the time though. It leads to personality rapport, it leads to familiarity, it leads to things that ought not be, and it often shows up in speech that should not be spoken. But never respond to a person's old sin nature. Sometimes people respond to their own old sin nature, and it comes out in things like lust patterns. Comes out in things like self-orientation or self-occupation. But there's a question of what am I responding to? Are you responding to the God of the universe? Are you responding to the one with all wisdom and knowledge? Are you responding to the one who is the lover of your soul? Or are you responding to something different? Often people will respond to other people because of their personal attributes, like their appearance or something. And this is a dangerous form of response. Because God says, even if you look with desire in your heart, you have already fornicated. So this is a dangerous response to my soul, especially when you consider what the mirror neurons do. People think this to be a light matter, that you'll see somebody who's attractive. It's not the first look, it's the second that gets you in trouble. And they wouldn't even dream of going anywhere with it, necessarily, right away. But you know what it is? I mean, I'm sure all of you have heard this. Somebody say, that's a good looking guy, or that's a good looking girl. And they get a little bit of like a sense of butterflies or tantalization in their emotions when they see this person. But you know what that is? And I don't want to be rude or crude when I say this, but this is true. It's an evaluation of whether or not you want to have sex with that person on the basis of their appearance. The bottom line is right there. They're never thinking they're good looking. I bet you they play good hockey. They're always thinking to themselves something like, they're good looking. I bet you they'd be a good relationship. They're never thinking apart from that when they start responding to those things. Part of the reason is because of their own biology. But God's mind is greater than the biology of a man or a woman. What is it that you are responding to? Are you responding to the ways of God Are you responding to His initiations? Are you responding to His mind? Or are you responding to something different? How many people respond to opportunities for wealth? And we may often say, you know, I would never trade the call of God for money, until you get tested on it. But a lot of people would, and a lot of people do. A lot of people don't. A lot of people are very faithful. But is that something that is in my heart? Well, unfortunately, I don't always know. I can say I hope by the grace of God that I would not, but unless I've been tested on it, I don't really know. If somebody offers you $10 million to go walk out of your call and go over to some other place with a life of ease and a life of comfort and luxury, life of worry free from the things of the world in a temporal sort of a way, would you take that? I trust that nobody in this room would. But I don't know my own heart. And I can't say one way or another with absolute certainty until I've been tested. What are you going to respond to? It happens a lot of times that people will walk away because of opportunity, and they'll rationalize it away. They'll say, well, God did it. He's promoting me. Maybe He's testing you. What will you respond to? Will you respond to the voice of God? Will you respond to the voice of God? You see, in John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." He's talking about responding there. My sheep respond to my voice and they follow me. You see, there are many voices, and we've talked about this recently. There are many voices that say go this way and that way. There are many voices to respond to. There's many initiations that try to capture the heart of a person, capture their imagination. But realize something, when the imagination is not controlled by the Holy Spirit, the imagination is a matter of sin. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And we see that sometimes if we have a religious application to this as being a very dry thing. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, so I have to be a monk or a nun or something. That's a person who doesn't understand the joy of the Lord. There's a reason why the Word of God says that in His presence there is fullness of joy and pleasures at His right hand forevermore. You see, that response inside of the heart makes all the difference in the world. What will you respond to? In Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Take heed to what you hear. Take heed to what you hear. Unto you that hear, more will be given." Take heed to what you're willing to respond to. Sometimes you have people who come together and they edify. Their presence, you can sense in their presence the Holy Spirit. There is genuine, rich fellowship. There is conversation of not a religious sort, but of the type that glorifies God because it is real and it is earnest. And it comes out of a heart that is in love with the Savior. And being in a place like that is very edifying, and people get built up. And you can come into a group of believers like that and you can sense the difference. But then there is also a kind of group where you can come in and there is triviality and flesh, where there is simplicity of thought. And I don't mean in the good simplicity, I mean in the not so good simplicity. Where the superficial is centered on. where there is nothing of the Spirit taking place, just a group of people in personality report. And you can come into a group like that and you can sense the difference also. Because there is a response in that to something else. When you are amongst believers, respond to the Spirit of God. And sometimes the Spirit of God will be pouring through the believers. And sometimes it will not. When you are amongst believers, respond to the Spirit of God. That's not saying be dry. That's not saying be religious. That's not saying be difficult. That's not saying be boring. But respond to what is real. Not to what is pretense or superficial. How often do believers live on this very superficial plateau where everything is how do I feel and how is it, and you know, very surfacey but no depth, no life impartation. Learn how to fellowship. One of the reasons why there is no fellowship among believers when they get together is because they respond in this superficial level. And there's nothing wrong with playing a game, but is your fellowship about a game? If it is, then it's not fellowship. Now, I'm not against believers getting together and playing a game. That's not what I'm saying. But is that really the core? Is that really the heart of the matter? Is that really what your time with other believers is all about? Playing a game. Sometimes believers come together and they try to like size each other up. Have you ever had a conversation where it almost became a competition? Somebody says something and the other one tries to trump them with scriptures, and then they try to trump that one with scriptures, and I'm like more spiritual than you are. And they're like going trump, and it's like a card game. One laying down one and I beat yours and here's mine. Have you ever seen that? It's not fellowship either. That's a religious response that's trying to elevate itself and see how religiously accomplished I am. Check out my spirituality. Pretty good, huh? I'm so humble it stinks. But this is how it works sometimes. You go, you talk to somebody, and instead of being a free flow of fellowship, it's a negotiation. Have you ever had a conversation like that where you're not actually speaking to someone, you're negotiating terms of acquaintance? Why? Because again, it's a response to things like insecurity. It's a response to things like appearance. It's a response to what do they think about me? But it's not just loving the brethren. There's a great deal of freedom in just loving the brethren. When there's love of the brethren, then what would normally be mundane becomes meaningful. Because it's not in the activity that's conducted, it's in the heart that's coming out. When there's love of the brethren, there is no negotiation, there is no trumping one another. You know what there is also? There is none of this checking out the person stuff. There's simply a different focus and a different response. What are you responding to? Sometimes people respond to their own condition. And their identity gets wrapped up in their condition. Sick people have to be careful about this, those who suffer with long-term illness. That their illness not become their identity. That their response isn't to their condition, but to God in their condition. That they not become their situation. Sometimes people who have a lot of exhaustion have this. Their identity becomes their exhaustion. You don't respond to those things. You know what happens? You know how that looks? You become very aware of your circumstance or your condition. Like, I'm so tired, I'm here, but I'm so tired, but I'm here, but I'm... Hello, everybody, I'm so tired. Well, your response is to your condition. Pastor Stevens used to be able to go days on end with no sleep. You know how he did it? He never became conscious of his exhaustion. He was aware that he was tired, but it wasn't his consciousness. It wasn't what he was dwelling on. It wasn't what he was aware of. He wasn't oriented to the exhaustion. He was simply aware because he has a physical body. But his consciousness and his awareness went somewhere different. People who suffer a great deal with whatever have to be careful that they're not responding to their suffering, but rather that they're responding to God and His promises in that suffering. That they respond to the faithfulness of God and the character of God in suffering, and not to the suffering itself. This is what happened in Numbers when Moses was told to put a brazen serpent on a pole. God was trying to get Israel to stop responding to their snake bites and respond to their provision for their circumstances. What are you responding to? What are you responding to? Do you respond to people's expectations of you? That's one that people frequently respond to. Such and such expects this of me, such and such. And it's, and I'm not talking about godliness. And that's not even put as an expectation. But I'm talking about, like, well, if I do this, such and such will like it or not like it. Or such and such wants me to do it, and therefore I must. What are you responding to? The expectations that I have, I put on my Savior. Come unto me, He said, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. That's the only expectation God makes. Learn of me. My son, give me your heart. Oh, that's a big one, God. My heart is a big one. No. Giving God your heart is the only safe place to put it. People are so afraid to give their hearts to God because they think He will wound their heart. But I will tell you right now, the only place where your heart will never be wounded is in the hands of God. You put your heart in the hand of a person, you put your heart in the hand of a thing or a circumstance or condition or whatever, and your heart will be wounded. But in the hands of God, your heart is healed. In the hands of God, the heart is soothed. Some people try to respond to what is not. They respond to imaginations towards the future. And it can be in any number of different things. It can be career. It can be just a general, like, this is how I picture my life going in the call. It can be towards relationships. They put their response to things that don't actually exist. But they hope maybe it will go this way, and that is where their response lies, and there is where their satisfaction lies and their comfort. God says, don't look for those things. Delight yourself in the Lord, and then He gives you the desires of your heart. Do you respond to promises for the things that your heart longs for? Sometimes the heart longs for things that are not sin. Sometimes the heart may long for things that God is bringing into your life. Maybe it's a part of your call. Like, for example, young men who are called to be pastors will often long to be pastors. It's not a painful longing. But it's a deep felt desire, because there's a thing that is put into the heart by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's up to God to will as well as to do His good pleasure. And so part of that may be a desire towards that which is God's call in my life. But do you respond to that? If you do, you will become very frustrated and very impatient with the call of God. You don't even respond to the call. You respond to God's Word. You respond to the Holy Spirit. You respond in the moment. You don't respond in tomorrow. Tomorrow doesn't exist. Tomorrow is nothing more than an idea. It's a thought. But it's not a reality. And perhaps tomorrow will come, and perhaps it will not. And for some people, for many people, obviously it will. But for some people, it will not. I can't respond to the things of tomorrow, because it doesn't exist. The promises of God, however, do exist. And they are faithful and they are true. The Holy Spirit does exist, and He dwells within the believer's heart. That which is of God, His Word, His mind, His thought, His heart, those do exist. And I can rely on them, and those I can respond to. If I respond to the character of God will pour out. If I respond to something else, first, a wishful thought that I will call a hope, will pour out. And if it doesn't come according to my determination, then frustration or hurt, things like that, strife, fear, aggravation, bitterness, they will pour out. I will accuse God of not being faithful. How many people predetermine a time to enter into something? God, I have this prayer. Heal my friend. And the friend is not healed. But if a person says to themselves, the healing must come by a certain point in time, then I will be very frustrated if it doesn't come in God's sovereignty at that particular time. God, you didn't heal my friend. God doesn't answer prayer. He didn't heal my friend. Wrong response. Wrong response. What are you responding to? Are you responding to a desire, a wish, a thought that doesn't exist? Or are you responding to the character of God? In Psalm 119, verse 150, the Word of God says, they draw nigh that follow after mischief. This is a very interesting thing that the psalmist observed, and he was right, of course, because it's in God's Word. We know he was right. But they draw nigh that follow after mischief. What does that mean? Those who follow after something else, those who will respond to something not of God, they will meet each other. It's amazing, and you can see this in large organizations, how people of the same type of ungodly spirit find each other, or same type of lust patterns find each other, or same brand of negativity find each other. and they talk and they keep each other company and they encourage each other in the thing that is not of God, and they enforce it in each other and they edify it in each other. But it's not of God. They are far from God's word. They are far from God's character and His testimonies. Why? Because they started responding to the mirror that somebody can be of myself. Why do you think that people look in mirrors? It's not only to see what they look like. They respond to themselves. Sometimes you hear some psychologist or somebody like that say, in the morning when you get up in the mirror, smile. Smile at yourself. And there's a lot of people that say if they do that, that brightens their day. Why? They responded to themselves, their own face, they responded. Well, likewise, I can respond to another person in that way. The same thing that is in me is in them, and I respond to it because I recognize it. That's not a good response. That's a response that is enforcing something that is not good very frequently. But likewise, on the other hand, when believers are together and their fellowship is around the Word of God, then it's the deep calling unto the deep. It's the life of God edifying the life of God. It's iron sharpening iron. It's one believer building another without even trying, just through entertaining fellowship, having a good time together, but spirit filled. Not a personality rapport, but a God rapport. A Holy Spirit rapport that can talk about absolutely anything, and God is still glorified and the heart is edified. What do you respond to? Be careful to respond to that which is of God, and not to that which is not. Do you understand? Be careful to respond to that which is of God and not to that which is not. And even if the thing in and of itself seems harmless enough, and perhaps it is, don't let your response be toward it. Because the harmful part of it comes that I train myself to respond to other things. You could call it a gateway response, where it leads me to responding to things, becoming accustomed to, becoming comfortable with, responding to the things that are not of God. People respond to television, the mind of the world. People respond to what people think of you. That's a big one. People may see me this way, and so I will respond. I don't honestly care what anybody thinks of me that much. I mean, it's better, I mean, it's more edifying if they like you. But if they don't, and God does, who cares? See, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm much more concerned with what God thinks of me than what another person thinks of me. Now, if you have that attitude, I can guarantee you're going to get into some situations where you will offend somebody from time to time. But then again, they probably needed offending. I've got news for you. Once in a while, we all need a good offending. We all need God to stir up the pot of our flesh get some of the gook out. Once in a while, we need God to put a little flame under our backsides. Once in a while, we need God to tip us over a little bit, so we don't become so complacent in our carnality. The Word of God says in 1 Timothy 6:11, follow after righteousness. Follow after righteousness. Prior to that, he says, flee fornication, flee worldly lusts. Follow after righteousness. Godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Respond to these things. Righteousness comes from the finished work. It's not what I produce, and we all know this. It's not what I produce. But it's God's effect in my heart. Godliness is simply the practical manifestation of righteousness in the heart, of being spirit-filled. Follow after faith. Have you ever seen somebody who responds to sight? We all do that, but it's a little bit amazing that we do if you think about it. It's like we said earlier, God who has unlimited, infinite wisdom and knowledge, and we respond to sight with no knowledge and no wisdom. It's like looking at the clouds in the air. You ever look at the clouds and you see the shapes? You know what I mean? You see maybe like a lion or whatever. But then it changes. Things get rearranged a little bit. The water molecules shift and then it changes. And now it's no longer a lion. It's maybe a castle. Sight is like that. Sight changes with circumstances and details being rearranged. Because what I don't have actually is sight. If you think about it, there is no such thing as sight. Walking by sight doesn't really exist. You know what exists? Walking by perceptions of the external. That's what exists. You see, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it was in fact beautiful and they perceived it so. But prior to that time, they did not perceive it as beautiful. Prior to that time, they looked at the same tree and saw it very differently. Things are like that in our lives. You see something and it seems wonderful and magnificent. And then you get a little bit of experience with it and you say, it's not so wonderful. And the way that I actually see it is not wonderful anymore. Because we don't walk by sight when we walk by sight. We walk by perception of sight. Perceptions of the external are extremely unreliable. But Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is a conviction of realities. It's an assurance. It's a confidence. It's a conviction. It confirms that things are real even though I cannot see them. So respond to faith. Faith toward what? Faith to the promises. Faith toward God's Word. Faith to His character. Faith toward His faithfulness. Respond in faith. Respond in love and patience and meekness. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow after agape love. Respond to that. Follow after it. Pursue it and follow after it. Agape love is not an external love. Agape love is that which is produced in the heart. Agape love has nothing to do with another person. It has nothing to do regarding their characteristics or even their behaviors. It has entirely to do with the contents of the heart of the one who possesses it. Respond to the love of God and let it fill you. Let it saturate you and permeate you. Because when you have that, then the other responses are simple. Why don't people trust God? Because they don't know Him. And we may be Christians, but if we don't trust Him, we don't know Him. And if there is an area of my life, and there is for everybody, that I don't really trust God, then in that area of my life, I don't know Him either. Get to know His love and respond to that. In all your circumstances, first and foremost, respond to that. In Isaiah 51:1, the Word of God says, "Hearken unto me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn." Look unto the rock whence you are hewn. Look unto the one whose image you are being conformed to, and respond to Him. Don't respond to the things that are not God. Respond to the things that are. How do I know what is of God? What is the fruit of it? That's how you know. What is the fruit of it? In Romans 14:19, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." Respond to the things that edify. But that actually edify, not to the things that are giddy or silly, but are simple-minded, but entertaining. But the things that build up the inner man. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you can't go out and have fun. But that's not a response. Respond in your heart to the things that build, not to the things that tear down. How many people respond to the negatives that happened in their life? Where does it get you? Yet people do that all over the place. I would say most people, even Christians, will respond to the negatives that take place in their life. Negative characteristics in people, negative experiences, negative stimulations. And they respond. That does not edify. You see something negative in someone, do not condemn them. Don't look at it at all. What does the Word of God say? We know no man after the flesh. We know no man. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We know no man after the flesh. Don't respond to the negatives. Respond to Christ in people. Respond to Christ in you. Be careful what you respond to. Why? It'll change your heart. Your world will become very different according to the things you respond to. You see, out of the heart come the issues of life. And so if you respond to the wrong things, then in your heart you will have contents that produces the wrong life. Why does a person step out of a call? Why does a person fall into sin? Why does a person backslide? Why does a person start doubting God? Why do they stop believing altogether? Because they've responded to the wrong things. But on the other hand, how does a person grow? How does a person get transformed into the image of Christ? How does a person get that peace that passes understanding? How does a person have, as a real practical reality in the details of their life, the joy of God? They respond to the right things. That's very much like what Moses said, "I set before you this day life and death. Choose life." Respond to the things of life. Respond to God. Don't try to evaluate even with your own mind. Don't even try to respond to your own thinking. Why? The head is sick. Right? The head is sick. The heart is desperately wicked. It doesn't even say just wicked. It says desperately wicked. We are wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And nobody can fix it. And God doesn't try. God just says, get rid of it. And take what I give you in the new man and respond to that. Amen?